Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper Piquinella, and today I'm not joined by my intangible co-host Tempest the Wrestler because he's in Chicago, the lucky bastard. Instead, I'm joined, big reunion, by Randy Andy Datson.
Oh, it's like when Anna Jay returned to see Tay Conti. Yeah. We look quite a lot like them as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. We are both incredibly attractive blondes.
Exactly, yes. Anyway, how you been, Andy? It's been a while since you've been on the SmackDown podcast.
It has been a while. What have I been doing? I've moved house,
mm-hmm.
which is very exciting.
Yeah.
I now live next to the studio, so my commute is now 20 minutes there, and well, a 20-minute walk mm-hmm. rather than a two-hour drive.
Big improvement, I'd say.
It is a massive improvement, and if I really wanted to drive, it would be like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, very, very happy, settling in nicely. Yeah, we've set up the main room, set up the bedroom. We've set up pretty much everything apart from the spare room.
Okay.
Because we were
is it a two bed place you got?
It's a two bed.
Lovely.
We were waiting for the last bits of furniture, and we were supposed to get a sofa today, and then the person we were buying it from got COVID.
That's unfortunate.
So, and she's pregnant. So.
Ooh, that's not good.
No. So hopefully she's all right.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she's watching, sofa
yes.
lady.
Totally.
But yeah, no. Obviously, we were like, "Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll get it done another time."
You take care of you first.
Yeah. Enjoying London life started interestingly. I don't know if you saw my tweet.
I didn't.
The day after I moved in, I went to Sainsbury's
mm-hmm.
and there was a double penetrating dildo on the floor.
Nice.
Yeah. So I tweeted that out, and all the comments...
So double penetrating as in both ends, or double penetrating as in...
Both holes.
Both holes.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, okay, so, right, gotcha.
So anal and vaginal.
I see.
Yes. And I posted it on... There's a group called S Word London on
yes.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Which is just lots of funny posts from London. So I posted it on that. I think the caption was £100 or nearest offer.
Nice.
And lots of people were like... No, but seriously, those are amazing. Like, pretty much all the comments were like, no, but seriously, like, those are worth it.
Yeah.
Like, someone was like, no, if that was new, that would be more than £100.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, so someone's just dropped like a £200 dildo on the floor. I mean, maybe they didn't notice it slip out.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Pearson commented saying, oh, I wonder where I dropped that.
Yeah.
Nice. In fact, I would say the other half of the comments were, oh, I wonder where that fell out.
Yeah.
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 So an interesting start to my
original
life
jokes, everybody.
In Hackney Wick.
Mm.
Well, actually, I don't live in Hackney Wick, I live in Stratford. But
yes.
Actually, no, the dildo was in Hackney Wick.
Nice.
Cool. So very clear, very near to the office.
I'm really glad that we've brought you back on the SmackDown podcast, and literally the first thing you talk about is dildos.
I can talk about poo if you like.
That's not, no. Why? Why is it all the bad stuff that you always talk about, Andy? What do you like other than like sports?
Yeah.
What do you like that's like positive stuff? Like what's your interest? Jesus Christ. Andy.
I like cooking.
Okay.
Have
you done any good cooking lately?
I had some friends come over last night.
Oh, yeah?
No, not last night. Thursday night.
Okay.
I made a butter chicken curry.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, it was very tasty.
Did you put poo in it?
Yeah. What they didn't know was that it was full of my poo. I have very fragrant turds. So that was good.
You always do one line too far.
Yeah.
One line too far, Andy.
Yeah. So, no, that was nice. Hopefully going to have a office housewarming at some point.
That'd
so
be very
fun. Come around and see the place.
Yeah. I'd be very excited for that.
I'm going to a Rev Pro show, my first post-pandemic, post-lockdown show on the 19th. Mm-hmm. I invited everyone from the office, and every single person in the office is busy.
You're welcome.
Literally every single one, to the point where I'm like, this is suspicious. No one, just people don't know.
To be fair, I don't know if I am or not. I kind of just, I didn't really register what's happening.
Adam Pearson's coming.
Lovely.
Yeah. So my, I almost had a name. My lady partner's colleagues are all coming because when they said, oh, my boyfriend's an editor for a, sorry, editor-in-chief.
for, I'm not one of those editors.
For a wrestling website. And they were like, oh, that's really cool. Like normally people are like, what?
Yeah.
But they actually were very supportive. Like that's really cool.
Nice.
And so they were like, can we come and see a show? I went, yeah. So she went, can you get tickets, please? So I've got some tickets. And then it turned out she was going to go to Greece, and then she couldn't come, and then no one could come, but then she can't go to Greece.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're all coming again.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, 19th. So if anyone's going to the Rev Pro show at York Hall on the 19th of September,
nice.
Say hello.
Awesome.
I'll be there.
That's a fun time. Thank you for the live catch-up, Randy, Andy. Let's get into talking about SmackDown. We've got some more stuff to talk about in the outro, but for now, let's talk about this little tease of Demon Finn Balor coming back that happened on SmackDown. Let's talk about it.
There you are.
Absolutely. And utterly flawless.
Where have you been?
Content. Elsewhere is where it. This is.
Pete, it's drooping.
I know it is. This is what you all came for. This is the content that everyone has subscribed for. This is.
it's so floppy. You've heard that before. Do you want me to?
No.
I'll hold it.
No, it's fine. Andy, you're going to make it worse. You literally just loosened it.
Right.
It's fine. It's gonna droop.
I made it tight.
It's going to droop anyway. I'm just going to have to readjust.
It's droopy.
As we do it.
But it's tight.
Please stop talking. Welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast review of SmackDown, I suppose. Sorry about all of that. For whatever reason, we started streaming off the streaming software that we use, and then we were waiting to go live on YouTube's back end, and for YouTube, it just said, well, you're not connected. I was like, yes, we are. And then on a different bit of YouTube, it said, hey, did you know that your stream's got an excellent connection? I was like, I know, so can we please go live now? And it didn't do it. It didn't let us go live at all. So we just had to make a new stream, I guess. I now need to actually get the stream ready so I can actually see if we're live and if it's working.
See, that's what I was going to do.
Yeah. And if the chat is, on board with everything and if it's all
I'll go into the back end.
And let's just check this out real quick.
SmackDown was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's live. Yeah. Okay, good. Got the chat up here. I need to actually, while I'm here, I need to delete the other stream because that's otherwise going to be there. This is some great content. I'm so glad everyone is here for this. And this isn't in any way bad.
So, the main event.
No. We're not doing that. Did you know we're sponsored? Sorry, Beer 52. We're sponsored by Beer 52. Go get beer. Beer52.com/wrestle. You can get 10 free craft beers.
10?
10 of them. Normally, when people get sponsored by Beer 52, they get 8. But because we're such good friends with them, you can get 10.
When I drink beer, I get really, really hungry for a snack.
Mm. Well, the good news is that when you get one of these crates, I almost said crafts, when you get one of these crates, you also get a snack.
Whoa.
In it. Or two, maybe, if you're lucky.
And when I drink beer and eat my snack, I really want to read something.
Yep. Good thing is, you can also read something, because you get a magazine about all the beers.
Beer tasting in it. Great. We'll give you information about all the beers and all the aromas.
Anyway.
And all the flavors that you'll get in the beer.
Beer52.com/wrestle. Go do the thing. Andy's here today because Tempest is in Chicago right now doing...
Meeting Denise, meeting Sean Mosset, meeting Andrew Zarian, meeting
Alex Queen of the Ring.
Yeah. He's met pretty much everyone, and I'm very jealous.
Not jealous at all.
No. We're in Hackney Wick.
Not jealous at all. Which is why we've got big reunion on the SmackDown podcast today. Yeah. Me and Andy.
You blew me up.
Sure did, buddy. Glad you walked it off. Anywho. Should we actually talk about SmackDown?
I've been
stalling because I don't really want to. The opening bit that we are going to talk about, though, is actually a bit of a positive thing, because I actually missed this first time I watched this, but we had a pretty fun main event, I thought. Mm-hmm. Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship was a very fun match. I really enjoyed the main event as it is. Just the match itself was very fun. Finn Balor got beaten up beforehand by the Usos. So he was on the back foot, and Roman came back. Finn Balor actually hit the Coupe de Gracie, which I'm pretty sure is how you pronounce it.
The Coupe de Gracie.
Yep, that's the one. Yeah. But Roman, he went back to old tricks, kicked out, but did a low blow with the kick out.
Mm.
And then after that, pounded away on Balor and then locked in the guillotine and made him pass out. But then afterwards, the real talking point came from after this match. Roman was walking away, and suddenly the lights went red, and you just hear... It's the heartbeat from the Demon Finn Balor theme song.
And you picked up on that straight away, didn't you?
Sure did. I did not miss it at all. And I didn't put a poll onto WrestleTalk's community tab, this microphone. I didn't put a poll onto WrestleTalk's community tab saying, wow, is Lesnar stealing the Fiend's red lights? And everyone said, wait, wasn't that for Balor? And I was like, wait, what? And then went back and watched it again and went, oh yeah, it was. Whoops.
Yeah, and I finished watching the show and then Roman was walking back. I was like, all right, that's the end.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw the Return of the Fiend... I went...
The Fiend?
Sorry. Spoiler. Return of the Demon, I thought, that wasn't teased at all.
Yeah.
Turns out it was, and we just both didn't pick up on it.
Yeah.
So we're even better at our jobs.
Yeah, exactly. But I like subtlety, and that was a very subtle tease for it. So the main thing we actually want to talk about, what do you think about Demon Finn Balor coming back? Like, is it a good idea for him to come back? What do you think he should do when he does come back? Is it just because he's lost to Roman? Is he going to go after Roman again? Like, what's Demon Finn going to do?
Well, presumably, it's going to be a match at Extreme Rules.
Maybe.
Because it would feel weird, unless there's going to be a rematch next week at the Madison Square Garden show.
No, because Lesnar's going to be there next week.
Yeah.
So I assume that's going to build to Reigns-Lesnar.
That would feel weird. So I'm assuming, unless they're going to do another horror show at Extreme Rules with the tagline, because as far as I'm aware, they're not
doing that. So far, they've just called it Extreme Rules.
But a Demon Finn Balor at Extreme Rules makes sense. I just don't know whether I want to see him lose. Because we haven't seen the Demon in... How long? I don't honestly can't remember the last time I saw him. So
2018, maybe?
Something like that. So to have him return as the Demon and then immediately lose just so Roman looks better.
You might want to hold the mic closer to your face. Not that close, Andy.
Feels strange.
Be pedantic.
I always look forward to seeing the Demon. I'm done
Stop
this in a while.
Calling him the Fiend.
The Demon, but... It feels like a bit of a waste. It didn't feel like he's going to do anything for Finn. Like, he's not going to beat Roman. Unless he gets carried away and gets himself disqualified.
Here's a counter theory. It's not for Roman. Balor's going to turn into the Demon because he lost to Roman, but he's not going to challenge Roman again. He's just going to go on a massive winning streak as the Demon.
That does feel like a very Vince move. He's like, oh, what do fans like? The Demon! Every week on SmackDown. Maybe gone with him.
Maybe not every week. Maybe he has a run where, you know, he just kind of shows up every so often and he has a pay-per-view match.
He could beat Dolph Ziggler.
Sure could. And other people. But he could... Maybe this is just Finn taking on a new character because of the loss to Roman. Like, the loss to Roman has tipped him over the edge kind of thing, rather than it's going to be an immediate rematch against Roman.
A rematch.
Rematch, that's what
because,
I said.
Because, like, I can't imagine they're going to do... Surely they can't be doing Roman against Brock already at Extreme Rules. Or do you think that is the plan?
I think they might, honestly.
Because, well, I guess the thing is, they can't do it at Survivor Series, because unless Brock just goes to Raw, beats Bobby Lashley, goes, I've got the belt now, I'm going to come and come and beat you. So I guess it has to be Extreme Rules or TLC or the Saudi show.
Could be the Saudi show, but I'd like to see it at Extreme Rules. I mean, when Brock came back in 2012, his first match against Cena was at Extreme Rules. Mm. So it's not out of the realms of possibility for Lesnar to compete at an Extreme Rules. It could work. It would elevate a B pay-per-view, and they haven't done that in a long
time. It would elevate a B pay-per-view, but does that just mean that Brock's going to immediately lose?
I hope so. Yeah.
But he's back for about eight matches that was reported.
Something like that, yeah.
So, but I mean, does he just come back, immediately lose, and then get drafted to Raw?
He could face Ricochet again.
Ricochet. Because you'd imagine that if Brock's coming back, he's going to be at Saudi.
Probably.
In either a big Hoss match.
Yes.
Or a
title match.
Who is the smallest person I can throw around match.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
Mansoor could beat him.
Or maybe not that.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I think it just makes sense. Like, okay, Roman wins...
LOL.
Maybe Roman wins LOL at Extreme Rules in a kind of cheap way. Sure. Or Roman loses at Extreme Rules, drops the belt, and then wins it back at Saudi.
Sure.
Like, that feels dumb, but I can't... They've brought back Brock Lesnar at a really weird time.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's no really big shows and there's nothing kind of that he can do which doesn't make that makes sense for me at this moment in time. Like, if Roman just loses, then Roman's lost. And then does Paul Heyman turn? I mean, because we saw a lot of little, we saw last week, but this week, even more little hints that Paul Heyman might turning on Roman. So, what's the idea? I know this is more about Finn Balor, this mini segment, but I mean, how would you fancy book this?
I don't know, honestly, because I don't know what their plans are. I don't know who they want to win and or not. Maybe Demon Finn comes back and beats Lesnar.
Triple threat?
No, I wouldn't do that personally. No. I think the main crux of the story of Reigns versus Lesnar is Paul Heyman, and diluting that with Finn Balor would diminish the impact of the match. So I wouldn't do that personally.
I've had a suggestion that Brock could pin Balor in a triple threat.
I'd hate that.
Save Roman from losing.
I'd hate that a lot.
And then Roman doesn't have the belt, but takes on The Rock.
This is the same thing as when Walter had the belt. And people were saying, well, why don't they do a Pete Dunne, Ilya Dragunov, Walter triple threat, and then Walter can be protected.
Yeah.
Walter's been protected. He held the belt for God knows how long. The idea of holding the belt for that long is that when someone finally beats them, that's a massive deal, and they get elevated so much by beating the unbeatable champion. Roman is that guy now. He's the unbeatable champion. If you're going to have him drop a title, it needs to be a big deal. Someone needs to beat him clean to be like, this guy managed to beat the unbeatable. And that would be a big moment.
It shouldn't be at Extreme Rules.
No.
I don't think. And I know Brock's going to be there next week, but it doesn't feel like we've had that build that we need to a Roman title loss.
No, totally not. I don't think Roman should lose. Absolutely.
Brock will be there next week, and it's going to be weird, man. Seeing if Brock going to cut a promo.
I don't know.
With his
who knows what he's going to do
with the voice that doesn't fit him.
We'll talk about it more later when the announcement came on the show. But I think Demon Finn, I'm excited to see back because Demon Finn's very cool. I just have no idea what they're going to do with him, and I don't know whether this is a Roman related thing or this is just a Balor thing that happened to come when he lost to Roman.
I would prefer the latter, where Balor is now out of the kind of title scene, and he's just the demon.
Yes.
I'm not sure I want to see him as demon every week, because then that completely dilutes the character.
Well, that's the thing. I want to see him as the... Whenever he does appear, I want him to be the demon.
Yeah.
But I don't want him to appear all the time.
Like, I don't know, like, after just, let's say a heel wins a match, or someone wins a match, and then they're like celebrating, and then just go,
dun, 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 yeah.
And they're like,
that's it.
Ah, next victim.
Yeah.
Like Malachi, that's all you like need. Sort of Malachi Black on AEW, where he just goes, you're next.
Exactly. That's exactly what I want to see from Finn Balor. And that would be really cool. That's a really interesting character build to him. And then he could go get the IC title or something. I don't know. Mm. And he can actually make that feel important, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a long shot because WWE don't do that.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ultra Chats, get them in at wrestletalk.com/support. We're going to read out all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air today. I don't know when that'll be because we started really late. So, Gatecrasher Forever says, Balor said he wouldn't bring back the demon in NXT as his character has moved on. I feel his character has gone backwards on SmackDown, who is more of a hard case on NXT, much more like his old Bullet Club Prince Devitt persona. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vince sees the demon as a main roster character.
It's a toy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can market that.
It is a toy. It is, yeah, it'll be Demon Finn Balor against Karrion Kross in the Battle of the Mattel toy.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll have, I imagine when we next see the demon, he'll have a different paint job, or he'll be wearing like a new hat thing, or he'll have something on him that they can sell because it's Nick Khan and everything is like selling these days.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Charles Berg says, major gripe. There was a Snickers commercial where Montez Ford went shopping, but purchased items by the number put next to them. Ford got in trouble for this, but I'm here thinking, who the hell numbers their shopping list? It's Bianca's fault, not Montez's.
Oh, man, that's nuts. What was the question? I didn't read it. I wasn't listening.
You just hear Snickers and then just blanked out for the rest of it. There was a commercial where Montez Ford went shopping and the shopping list was numbered. And I believe he must have got like the number of those things based on what number it was on the shopping
list. Right.
And then Charles Berg is saying, who numbers a shopping
list? I am someone who writes my shopping list down rather than has it on my phone.
That's fine.
But I wouldn't number it.
No.
Because that would lead to confusion. I'd go, why am I buying 43 lemons?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. SMB says, I've never really noticed the piped in crowd noise before. Lucky you. But damn, it's become so obvious, lol. Really seemed as if Becky had zero reaction from the crowd while she was in the ring on her own, so they pumped it in. Becky already feels bland. Your thoughts? We'll talk about it more later.
I thought Becky was being cheered more than anything.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, she was trying to be a heel, and they were going, She was like, I'm a knob. And they were like, yeah, Bianca's an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Bianca comes out and they're like, yeah, Bianca.
Bianca. Yeah.
So the crowd doesn't really know who to, or maybe they just pressed the wrong button.
Maybe.
Cheer is next to Boo and they went,
Maybe. But I mean, regardless, we'll talk about more about the Becky stuff later, but piped in crowd noise is so obnoxious and it winds me up so much. It's just the worst.
Because it never works. Like, I've never gone, they're really behind it. I'd go, oh no, that sounds really out of place.
It's piped in,
because that's not how a crowd sounds.
We'll get into more of your Ultra Chats later on, wrestletalk.com/support. Make sure to keep getting those in because we'll go through all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. And I just want to remind people once again that we are sponsored by Beer 52, who've been sponsoring us since before SummerSlam. They're amazing, like 3 weeks now in a row they've been sponsoring us. They're amazing. Go get your free crate of craft beers if you're a UK viewer. You can get 10 free craft beers, and all you have to pay for is the postage and the shipping, which is like £5.95. Wow. So it works out as like 59.5p a can, which is ridiculously good value, and they're good beers, so go get them. beer52.com/wrestle. Let's get into the review of the rest of the show. Started off with a recap of Reigns and Balor, and we got straight into a championship contenders match.
Yes.
Of the Usos versus the Street Profits. I can't stand championship contenders matches. They are so stupid. As soon as I hear the phrase, I just get angry.
See, I haven't done the SmackDown review in a while, as you know. Mm. And I just feel like they've just gone round in a circle of all the tag teams they've got. Because I swear the last time I was doing this review, they were doing the Street Profits against the Usos.
Dude, they have like four teams. What are they going to do?
Well, it's the same on Raw. I was having a chat with the website team last night and they went, who are they going to put on? I guess the Viking Raiders are being groomed now and then they'll lose. And then Veer and Shanky?
Yeah.
the tag team division is, it's good, but there's none of them.
Yeah, exactly. And then the talent on it is very good.
And then
good,
later in the show you get probably the Mysterios are going to break up.
Yeah.
Presumably because... Ray keeps being a terrible father.
Why not have a father and son tag team break up? Because WWE doesn't know what to do with tag teams apart from break them up.
And another tag team you've got is Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. And when was the last time Robert Roode did anything?
I mean, they were tag champs not long ago.
The Hot Dogs, yeah. I don't know.
Like, anyway.
It's the Street Profits again. It's like, oh, right, cool. They might win it. And then they'll bring the smoke. And then they'll have the belt for a month and a half.
I will say.
And they'll lose it again.
To their credit, the Street Profits do feel elevated going against the Usos. Because the Usos do feel like a much bigger deal since they become part of the Bloodline and with Roman and stuff like that. This feels like a more important storyline. But championship contenders matches can get in the bin.
Yeah. And then I never thought this match was going to finish clean, which is bad.
I did. I thought it was going to finish clean. What an idiot.
No, I just assume all WWE matches now on TV are going to end in a DQ.
That's fair.
In AEW, this would not have been a DQ because the fact that there was two people in the ring, one who shouldn't have been, would never be a DQ. But credit to the referee. I guess he followed the rules. One of the Usos, I can't remember which, wouldn't get out of the ring, wouldn't stop beating up one of the Street Profits, I can't remember which. I think it was Ford. He kept throwing him shoulder first into the ring
post.
And
then he called for a DQ.
And then he called...
Oh, no. It wasn't even a DQ. It was a no contest.
Yeah. Called for the DQ. Then the Usos are beating up Dawkins on the outside.
Yeah.
And then the camera didn't quite catch this, but Ford did some crazy S-word.
Sure
dive, backflip thing.
Yep.
And just appeared out of from out of nowhere and killed them all.
Cool.
And then stood tall on the table.
Also, the Usos' new catchphrase is, we are the ones.
Yeah. We are the world.
I don't like that. And the match just ends, was my next note. After that, we got Paul Heyman backstage with Kayla Braxton. Love their interactions. Mm. That's great. He gets a call on his little phone. Mm. And his ringtone is Brock Lesnar's theme.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. The scandal. And Kayla's like, don't you want to picked that up.
Kayla's acting was so bad.
I love it. No, I loved it. This was great. It was genuinely, their interactions are hilarious because she's so smug about everything. And he's just like, Kayla, I literally can't stand you. With like every facial expression and every word he says is like dripping with like anger at her. I love this. This is great. He gets a call from Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's theme song as his ringtone. Ignores it the first time, takes it the second time, and says yes, he'll pass along the message, which we find out later.
I mean, he hasn't been Brock Lesnar's advocate for a while.
Yeah, but he's still associated with him.
Yeah, but I mean, he needs to change his ringtone. Or
it's a good theme, mate.
He needs to change his.
He needs to change his ringtone,
or as I prefer to call it, anal bleaching. Yeah, so he clearly needs to change it. Because, or does he have, like I was saying before the show, does he have this for every single person in WWE?
I hope so. That would be so funny.
Like, Bailey calls him and is coming out of his pocket.
No. I want it to be Brock Lesnar's theme for every person.
For every single person.
Yeah.
Because that, if it's for every person, then that's a real hint that like, oh no, he still loves Brock.
Exactly. That's like, my point.
If I called him, would it? Would it?
Yes.
Move?
Is that Brock Lesnar's theme?
How do you do the bit at the beginning? Where it goes.
I wouldn't.
No, do it.
No, I wouldn't.
No, you laughed at me.
Yeah, I did.
I'm not continuing until you've done an impression of it.
Enough to do that. Big E was also there, dressed as a janitor for some reason, and then he laughed at them with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Cool.
Yeah.
We then got Becky Lynch. Came out to the ring. She got a nice little hometown pop. The man has come around to wherever they were. Jacksonville? I don't know. Which is weird because she's supposed to be the heel. And then she says, she tries to do some little heel digs, just being like, I didn't get any You Deserve It chance last week. And then the crowd started chanting You Deserve It. And she was like, yeah, thank you. Still trying to be a babyface about it. And then she makes a very good point. Being like, hey, she accepted my challenge and she wasn't ready. That's not my fault. That's Bianca's fault for not being ready. And it was like, yeah, you're kind of right, I guess.
Yeah, Bianca was doing the thing that she did at WrestleMania where she was sort of soaking up the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And then Sasha Banks should have went, yeah, let's soak it up. Becky was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And just punched her. And yeah, I hated the moment.
Yeah.
When it happened.
I hated it, yeah.
And I still don't like it.
Me neither.
And I still would have preferred this, but I like the fact that they're at least framing Becky as a slightly smarter heel rather than...
Totally.
Like, but Bianca goes, let's have a match now. And Becky goes, no.
No. That's what she did last week as well.
So yeah.
She was just like, I want a rematch. And Becky goes, no. So then Bianca literally won a number one contendership last week. And she goes, okay, so that title match that I'm now owed, let's do it tonight. And Becky goes, no. And then walks off. Great.
Yeah, it works because...
She keeps doing that, she's going to get booed.
Because Becky's always been framed, like, even when she was babyface, she's always been framed as a slightly more intelligent wrestler.
Yeah, totally.
So if she just came back and went, yes, I will have a rematch with you right now.
Yeah.
It has been made official, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Extreme Rules, yeah. They're going to do the contract signing next week.
At Madison Square, so look forward to that.
Mm.
Table flip.
It's going to go well. Yeah, it was fine. I'm excited for Becky Lynch's descent into heel madness. It should be good.
I'm excited to see them have a proper match.
Me too.
And yeah. I genuinely am intrigued about the result. I imagine Becky will win.
Becky will win. But that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Then, Toni Storm is back. Toni, where have you been? Oh my God. She had one match on SmackDown and then she's gone forever. She's back. Way, Toni Storm. Ah, oh, she's in a men's storyline.
Is she though? She just said a thing. She just said that she doesn't like Dolph Ziggler, and one likes Dolph Ziggler.
Ziggler started flirting with her a bit,
yeah.
And then she was like, well, I'm actually rooting for Boogs in the match against you in a minute. And Ziggler's like, that's fine. Well, we'll see how it goes. You know, people have done that. I get why you like him. He's a nice guy, but, you know, stay tuned on that one. And then she's like doing her hair and stuff as he walks off. It's like, ugh.
It's great, great acting. She should win a Tony Award.
Oh, that was not good. I really hope that this was just a one-week throwaway thing just to have her on the show and to put over Boogs some more.
Toni Storm, I know she's blonde, and I know Vince likes that, but she is not someone you need to be sitting there going, oh my God, Dolph Ziggler's so hot.
Totally.
Dolph Ziggler is so
sexy. Put her out there and wrestle.
Sexy.
It's what she does.
Dolph Ziggler has had the most girlfriends of anyone ever in WWE. Like, on kayfabe.
Godfather. Girlfriends, probably, yeah. And then also after that, we got Boogs versus Ziggler, which ended in 2 minutes because Boogs won with a really lackluster pump handle slam.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a similar gimmick to Elias, which is playing a guitar.
Except
and he has
goofy.
A rubbish finisher like Elias.
Hey, I like the pump handle slam.
You just said it was rubbish.
This one was very lackluster.
Oh,
it was
okay.
A bad pump handle slam, but I like the pump handle slam.
Fine. Whatever. I like Rick Boogs. I think he's
Me too.
Very fun.
I'm so bored of him.
But I would prefer to see Nakamura doing the wrestling.
I'm so bored of Boogs because it's the same now every week. My name is Rick Boogs, and I'm here to rock with the true king in SmackDown. Intercontinental. Oh my god. Yeah, that. Yeah. It's just that all the time now. And I understand getting over a catchphrase. I understand. But it's the same, and it's a grating noise. And if he did it once, that's fine. That's just charisma. Fine. But it's the same every week, and it's just him doing a power thingy and then a pump handle slam. And that's it now.
Is Pete saying Boogs or Boo? I'm just a Hans Simpsons thing.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Tempest in the chat.
Hi, Tempest. You're missing out on so much Andy Datsun goodness. We then got confirmation Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce backstage said it's going to be Becky versus Bianca at Extreme Rules, and the contract signing will be next week. And then we got Cesaro versus Seth Rollins, for God's sake. Why do they do so many bloody rematches?
Yeah, so when I saw this, like, oh, cool, that'll be a good match. I'm like, oh, but... And then afterwards, I thought, oh, they could have used someone else.
Sure could.
Instead of Cesaro. Because if you're going to beat someone up so badly that they look like a chump, don't make it Cesaro.
And
when he hasn't been on TV for quite a while.
God, the thing is, I thought, foolishly, I thought that Rollins and Edge were done. And last week, when Edge was saying he's now... done with Rollins, and he's going to try and go back for the Universal Championship because that's what it was all about in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Edge has moved on. And Rollins was saying, you know what? Edge, you taught me a lesson at SummerSlam, and I need to be more like Edge going forwards. And I was like, cool. That's a nice way to like put a... Rollins hasn't forgotten about it, but they're not feuding anymore. Turns out, they are still feuding. This feud must continue, because in this match, Rollins had a promo in gorilla position saying he requested the match against Cesaro and saying that he wants to beat him. He needs to be more like Edge, which amounted to doing an execution and an edge-o-matic.
Yeah.
And that was it for the match.
It would be a bit like if Edge had said before their match at SummerSlam, oh, I'm going to be a bit more like Beth Phoenix because he hit one move.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, the match itself was fun. They're both very good wrestlers.
Yeah.
It's a fun match. They're both very good at what they do.
But we knew it was going to be fun, and that's great. But why Cesaro and why this match again? I guess they went, oh, we are at Madison Square Garden next week. What are we going to do? Edge versus Seth Rollins.
Again.
Can we just do that? Yeah.
But do it again, though. Screw it. I can't get over the idea that Cesaro's WrestleMania feud with Rollins was about Cesaro breaking into the main event scene, which he then did by beating Rollins, had that one Universal title match against Roman Reigns, and then that's it. And then you just throw him in a match on SmackDown again, as if that storyline hadn't happened. They just go, what a rivalry these two have had, right? And it's like, yeah, literally, like 4 months ago. We remember stuff.
I just can't see Rollins winning a 4-1 handicap, 4-1 handicap match. Because you know a Madison Square has four edges.
God!
Do you get it? A Madison Square, like the garden, has four edges. So it's a 4-1 handicap match.
Ah, bring me Tempest back, please. After the match, it ends in a DQ because of course it does, right? Seth grabs a chair, smashes it in Cesaro's face, he's going for an uppercut.
Mm.
In isolation, I said this in my edited review, in isolation, if Seth had caused the DQ for this match, it wouldn't have been a bad thing because Cesaro was on the upper foot, Seth was trying to be sneaky. Upper foot? That's what I said.
He was on the upper foot, everyone. Yeah.
He had the upper hand. Mm-hmm. Seth was on the back foot.
Yeah.
There we go. And he you know, he took the cowardly way out because he realized he couldn't win. Sure, that makes sense. The reason this doesn't work is because WWE do non-finishes all the time. So at this point, it's a Pavlovian response for all of us to go, ugh, every time we see a non-finish. So as soon as that non-finish happens, you go, for God's sake, even if it makes sense for the story, which it does in this case, it still detracts from it because they overuse the non-finish all the time.
Also, why did Ed wait so long? He was like, was he out back having a cup of coffee? And
probably.
They're like, Edge, you should probably check this out.
He's
like,
also, Edge came out, which we didn't mention.
Sorry,
yet.
Yeah. I just got to finish this coffee. And then he goes, oh, really? Seth is attacking Cesaro now. I better, better go out there.
Yeah.
And Edge runs out. And then
saves him from a concerto.
Yeah, and then Seth does that kind of thing. Ha 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 ha! I got you to come out here, and that was it.
Yep. Edge versus Rollins next week.
Next
rematch.
Week.
Love it. This feud must continue. The Bloodline are backstage. Heyman then tells Reigns that Lesnar will be at SmackDown next week, and Roman says, "How do you know that he's not here tonight?" And Heyman can't answer it. I can answer it though. Because Lesnar's only got so many dates. He's not going to do two weeks in a row. Don't be crazy.
Yeah, but I don't know whether they were hinting at like Heyman knowing exactly where Brock was.
I think that they were trying to put over that Reigns was paranoid that Heyman was in on it with Lesnar.
Well, he said, he's in Saskatchewan. And then he's like, how do you know he's there? And But that got to me as if like Heyman was going. And then he went, he might be in... wherever he's from,
Minnesota.
So that made me kind of, I feel like that's just another hint at Heyman knowing a lot more about Brock's movements than he's giving away.
I think he doesn't know anything. I think he's literally just trying to say stuff. He's literally just being like, Reigns is saying to Heyman, like, prove to me that you know where he is. And Heyman can't give an answer because he doesn't know where he is because he hasn't been in contact. Yeah. He literally said that Lesnar called his phone for the first time in like 18 months or whatever it was. That
he might have found my friends.
Anyway,
where do you think this is? Where do you think this is going with the whole? Do you think Heyman's going to turn a Roman, or do you think it's going to be like a triple bluff where he looks like he's going to go back to Brock and then turns on Brock and then allows Roman to win? Or
I don't know, but I'm quite curious.
Yeah,
I'm genuinely quite curious to see where this is going because I don't know
because it's Paul Heyman will be producing this as well.
Yes,
which makes me think thought has gone into it.
Yes, 100%, exactly. Yeah. And you can tell that there's a lot of subtle storytelling going on at play, which is very good. Edge backstage confirms it is going to be Edge versus Rollins next week, stacking the MSG show. And then we got Happy Corbin. I love Happy Corbin. He's great.
He's
a proper dickhead.
He is such a dickhead.
I love
it. And then they teamed him here with another massive dickhead.
Yeah, they did.
And WWE really now know how to frame Logan Paul.
As a dickhead.
Because he is one. And he's not just acting a dickhead.
I mean,
as I'm aware...
He was also acting a dickhead
here. He's not just doing that. As far as I'm aware, he is a bit of one in real life.
A bit? Yes. Yes, he is.
I didn't want... In case we've got some Logan Paul fans watching.
Anyway, Happy Corbin was on the KO show. Happy Corbin then kind of hijacks the show and been like, I've got my own special guest. And KO is just like, what do you mean? It's my show. And he goes, here's Logan Paul. And everyone was like, wait, what? Logan Paul comes out, proper dickhead, starts getting into it with Kevin Owens and just being like, we're super rich. And he's like, from the way you're dressed, don't you want like $100? Like, gets loads of some money out and starts teasing him and all that stuff. KO acts like he's going to get into a fight with him, starts shoving him. As he runs to go towards him, Corbin interrupts, punches him and choke slams Kevin Owens. And he and Logan Paul walk off together being like, we're so rich, proper dickheads. Loved it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It was appalling.
Hated that. And now, Andy, next thing on SmackDown. And now, for your viewing pleasure, Carmella. And there she was. And then there was Liv Morgan, who was next to her and just went, seriously? And then the segment ended.
Hey, I thought this was really effective in building both women.
What just happened?
As effective challenges for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I mean, is this just the feud now? Is this them just feuding?
They've already feuded. Like, recently.
And now, for your viewing pleasure, Pete. Seriously?
That's the whole segment, guys. Anyway.
I feel so sorry for Liv Morgan.
She's really good. She had such a good bit against Bianca Belair last week.
They keep doing little bits where they're like, okay, cool. They're going to give her something. Yeah. And then this happens.
And then they don't. Yeah, it's wild. We then got, for the second week running, Dominic Mysterio versus Sami Zayn. And for the second week running, Rey Mysterio went out to the back to make sure that Dom can do it by himself. And then he came out to ringside again.
And ruined everything.
And then Dominic Mysterio got a haluva kicked and pinned again. So basically what I'm saying is this was exactly the same as last week, but a shorter match and worse.
Yeah. It's,
good job.
They're trying to tell a story.
Yep.
But it's not. They're doing it really, really ineffectively.
They're doing
it so obviously.
It's not just that though.
That it's just really tedious to watch.
It's just not progressing. It's just the same story multiple weeks in a row.
Well, the thing is, what happens is they decided to start the story a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and went, oh no, but it's quite a few more weeks than we had realized until Extreme Rules or a big show.
Yeah.
Or like, let's give it another week or so and this happens again. Are they going to then do the turn so that they can have a match at Extreme Rules?
I honestly don't know or care at this point. Which is bonkers because it's Dominic and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
I should care about it and I just don't. What else can you say?
And like,
whatever.
I have every expectation that this match is going to be next week. Or Ray will be like, oh no, I will come out. Maybe you do need my help.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll screw it up again for Dom.
Sure. Or like Ray will have a match and Dom will be like, don't worry, I'll help. But then he'll cost Ray or something dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Don't care. Naomi was backstage and she said to Sonya Deville, who was passing, she was like, hey, last week you said I want my first match back. So what's my first match going to be? And yet again, Sonya Deville kind of blows her off to be like, oh, I'm super busy. Ask me again next week. And next week is the MSG show. So she's going to be super busy. So she's going to do the same thing again next week, most likely. I don't mind this. This form of repetitive storytelling is good because it's actually a point because she keeps doing the same thing, which is infuriating Naomi. That's the point of the story.
Yeah. So, yeah. So she's like, I guess the story they're telling is that Sonya was trying to give everyone like, okay, let's say Becky beats Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, Sonya will give someone else a shot at Becky and someone else a shot at Becky and someone else a shot at Becky. So I hope what they're doing is being like, just making everyone want Naomi more.
Yeah, that's it. It's literally like Naomi being like, can I please have a match? And Sonya being like, you're not worthy of my time.
Yeah.
Which literally makes you go like, yes, she is, Sonya. So that's fine. It's good storytelling.
Yeah. So Sonya goes, I'm going to pick someone to have a match. She goes, I'm going to pick...
Just leading to a pun.
Yeah. You ruined it, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
So Sonya's going to go. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Right.
And you'll love this one. And she'll go, oh, I'm going to give a match to Liv Morgan. Mm-hmm. And then Naomi will go, no, me. That was worth it.
I haven't missed you. Super SmackDown, they're calling it next week, the MSG show.
It's going to be the same. Oh, by the way, I missed one earlier. If Finn Balor gained lots of weight, would he become Fat Balor?
Lynch versus Belair's contract signing will be next week at MSG. Rollins versus Edge will be next week at MSG. And Brock Lesnar will be there at MSG next week as well. Pretty wild show they got going on.
It sounds super.
It is pretty super. And then they had the main event that we already spoken about that was really fun. This show, I know I've been quite loud this episode and relatively negative. I think it's Andy's influence.
Yeah,
genuinely, I think it's because you're here. I'm just so much more angry.
It was one of those ones where I wrote lots of negative notes, but actually the show kind of breezed by.
It was fine.
And it was perfectly acceptable. See, some good bits and some less good bits, but nothing like that was, I was like, oh my God, this is so horrible. Apart from that Carmella bit, that was just weird.
See, the thing is, with these WWE shows, I sound very negative about everything, and sometimes it's because the stuff is really bad, right? This wasn't a bad show. I was negative about it because it's repetitive and boring, and it's got championship contenders matches that end in non-finishes and nonsensical booking. The actual wrestling that we got on this show was pretty good. In fact, I'd say it's very good. But it's just all the stuff there's nuggets of good in there, and it's just surrounded by just all of this shit. on the outside of it,
Pete,
that just makes you not look at it in a fond light.
You sweared.
I did. Swear jar emotes in the chat. I would have given this like a high 3, low 4.
I just give it a very solid 3. Just like...
Like the main event was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good. And it was a nice way to end off a fun tease for Demon Balor. I'm excited for that. And everything else was fine. Nothing was really bad, per se.
Old me would have gone, great main event, 4 out of 5. But now I kind of...
Now you're older and more cynical.
I see the whole show and like,
yeah.
Okay, there was enough to not be a 4 out of 5.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry about Pete, everyone. I try and control him. But...
I'm still blaming
clearly
you
Tempest, who is a real potty mouth, has affected your mind.
I'm blaming you for this. Honestly, I blame the technical issues as to why I'm more negative because I've just been a bit stressed out today.
It was that kind of silent stress where I could tell you were really stressed, but you didn't want to be super, like you didn't want to
be super aggro
show.
About
yeah,
it.
About, yeah. That yeah. is. I've just seen the poll. That is.
Yeah.
Quite one sided. Well,
I'm getting to it, Andy.
Nice poll.
57% say it was a 3 out of 5 show, with 18% going one higher with a 4 out of 5, according to the poll on our community tab, which seems about right. 11% doing a 2 out of 5, so definitely in that kind of middle bracket. But yeah, good stuff. There was something else I was going to say. It was a Reddit post that I just wanted to point out that I saw yesterday.
I read it.
Hate that. Which I thought was quite interesting, which was the amount of rematches that WWE have done this year in comparison to AEW. Now, this isn't just about the comparison to AEW, because the number in WWE alone is baffling.
Is this okay? Can I have a guess?
Well, let me do the ground rules first, right? So this is matches that have exactly the same competitors. So it is like a singles match to a singles match, not like the same competitors in a tag match or anything like that. Just exactly, or a tag match to a tag match featuring exactly the same competitors.
Okay.
Stipulation changes is still a rematch. Even if it goes from a singles to an extreme rules match, still counts as a rematch.
Right.
And it's only for Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-view.
Okay.
Right? So number of rematches... from this year.
What's do you know what the AW number is?
Yes.
Okay, well, give me the AW number, because you said it was so much lower.
Okay, well, don't look at my screen, because I'm going to get up the thing, because it's in the headline. So for AW, this is including Dynamite and Rampage, not Dark and not Dark Elevation. All right?
Right.
The number for AEW, 16.
Okay. I think it's probably over 100. 174.
160.
Oh!
So close. 160.
That's 10 times, literally rematches. 10 times as many.
10 times as many. In fairness to WWE, looking at Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-view, for the majority of the year until Rampage became a thing, WWE had 2.5 times the airtime that AEW does, right? There's quite a lot more. So you'd expect them to have more rematches than AEW if they were a comparable level. Do you want to know the percentages?
Yes.
Oh, this is a fun one. See how many bloody rematches there are. In terms of percentages, okay, so for AEW, 6.7% of all matches this year are rematches. 6.7%.
Okay.
So that's 93.3% matches.
Can you put it into a fraction so we can have some fraction warfare?
No. Do you want to guess the percentage for WWE?
46.
31.8%
of all matches.
Of all matches this year is an exact rematch. This doesn't include people being included in a feud going into like a tag match, like a Biggie Apollo Crews that have faced each other in some form 17 times this year. That's not an exaggeration. That's an actual number. Like, just exact rematches. Nearly a third of all matches this year so far have been rematches. Bonkers!
This is why so many fans only watch pay-per-views now.
Yeah.
Because they don't need to watch anything else.
And guess what? Next week, we've got a rematch. We've got Seth Rollins versus Edge, which is a rematch from SummerSlam. This episode, we had a rematch of the Usos and the Street Profits, and we had a rematch of another one that I can't think of right now. Cesaro and Rollins.
Yeah.
So many rematches.
You could watch the pay-per-view and the show afterwards
Yeah.
And then the next pay-per-view. And pretty much from the show after the pay-per-view, you would know what the next set of matches
is. I think you just need to watch the pay-per-views. I don't even think you need the shows after. Like, it's just... You'll be fine, honestly.
Yeah, like, 31 seems like a low number. I thought it was going to be more than that.
Nearly a third of all matches.
No, I know.
Exact.
But I thought it was more
than... Exact rematches.
No, but I thought it was more than that still.
It's insane. Yeah, it absolutely bonkers.
Rusev rematchka.
It's genuinely a fascinating post. I'd recommend going and reading it. It's posted by the user... Milba3. It was posted one day ago, so it didn't include SmackDown and Rampage from yesterday. It's on the Squared Circle Reddit. And yeah, it's genuinely fascinating, like just looking at that. And obviously this isn't including stuff from like 2020 going into 2021. So it's like, even if something happened on December 31st, 2020, and then on January 1st, 2021, it doesn't count as a rematch.
Right, okay.
For example. And also, that does mean that this number is based off, so if let's say it's Biggie and Apollo Crews. Let's say they faced off three times in a singles match. That's two rematches, not three. Yeah. So you get even more matches than what we're saying. Rematches is that high.
Pete, I've got a B in GCSE maths. I don't.
I'm explaining it for everyone. There are 1,000 people watching right now.
That's true.
So I'm explaining it for them too. It's. I could not believe it. I sent it to Tempest yesterday, and he said, "That number makes my skin crawl."
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I totally get it, my dude. It's
that might also insanity. Because he had bugs in his... Did you hear? Tempest Hotel. He had to switch hotels in Chicago because the first hotel had bugs in it.
That's awful.
As in, like, insects, not like a recording device.
A recording device, yeah.
Yeah.
I would feel bad for him, but also, he's in Chicago, so I don't. I want to very briefly, Andy, because I haven't had time to watch Rampage.
Yeah.
Because I've been very busy trying to sort out the studio and with all the technical issues and trying to get everything set up. I haven't had time to watch Rampage at all. So, Andy, what happened on Rampage?
So
very quickly, keep this under 5 minutes, please.
We open up with Malakai Black versus Lee Johnson in kind of Malakai Black's continuing sort of destruction of the Nightmare family.
Okay.
The match went a lot longer than I think anyone was expecting.
Sure.
Because all the others so far have been like, oh, three moves and then the Black Mass.
Sure.
Towards the end of the match, Black gets a chair, takes it into the ring, and everyone's like, oh no, he's going to get himself disqualified, which is weird for Malakai Black, because surely he beat Lee Johnson, who's a bit of a dweeb. But then he hands Johnson the chair, as if like, come on, have a go at me.
Okay.
And Johnson picks up the chair as if like, okay. And then before he can kind of get it up, Black just goes Black Mass and pins with an arm to the face.
Okay.
Dustin Rhodes comes out, and it's Dustin Rhodes will be next, I guess, on the next Rampage.
Yeah, for next member of the Nightmare family. Makes sense.
So, which I guess is just still leading to Cody's return and Cody just beating Malakai Black, I guess.
Probably,
Because America and Malakai Black is Dutch. So,
yep, there you go.
Yeah. Next up, we had a championship contender. Man, no, it wasn't really. It was Chris Statlander in a 2-on-1 handicap match against Rebel and Jamie Hayter, because obviously she's got Britt Baker tomorrow night.
Yep.
Statlander won. She looked really cool in this match. She kind of battled against the odds. It wasn't one of those matches where it was a kind of 2-on-1 a lot of the time, where it was, and then the babyface got a spot. She did this really cool kind of, she was holding,
oh, I think I saw
holding
this.
One of them like that, and the other one
it was like was an like electric chair,
electric
right?
Electric chair.
Yeah.
And yeah, sort of slammed them both down. So that was really cool. And she won. I think she tapped out Rebel.
Cool.
I still don't think she's not going to beat Britt Baker, but it's good to.
But good to make her look strong, though.
Yeah, it's good to make someone look strong who's going for the belt. And then we had like 23 different video packages, and they had a promo segment between Miro and Eddie Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
Miro kind of going on about how he's the God's chosen champion, and Eddie Kingston coming out and basically say, "You're God's a knob." He was like, "Oh, you're gonna redeem me? Oh, you can redeem these nuts!" And then kind of ran into the ring, and Rusev ran out.
Rusev,
Miro ran out. I haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, I know.
And then Eddie's like, oh, you whip. Eddie leaves the ring, and then Miro comes and beats him up. So kind of like played a bit of possum. Miro looked, looked strong at the end. And then the main event was Darby Allin against Daniel Garcia.
Sure.
Which was a perfectly good match. 2.0 thingy on the outside. Allin,
2.0 thingy.
Allin won the match. It was a fine match. Allin won the match. But the main kind of thing really was they ran, as soon as he won, everyone crowded the ring, started beating him and Sting up. And then Punk was on commentary for this, and he was sort of sitting there going, okay, I'll go and help. And then he sort of was watching it for a while and then didn't run, like, sprint down.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a neat bit of storytelling. Right. Like, he could get weakened before our match on Sunday.
Yeah.
But also I should probably help him because he helped me last week. He doesn't want to come across as a total heel.
Yeah.
He saves the day. And then, but as soon as, so he's kind of confronting the, honestly, don't know their names. The tag lads, not Daniel Garcia.
2.0.
That's what I said, isn't it?
2.0 thingy. Yeah. What you said before.
Punk was kind of facing off them, and then Allin did one of his suicide dives, took both of them out. But within like a second of him doing that, Allin was up again, and they were doing the face off.
That's cool.
So that was a cool visual to end the show. And yeah, All Out tomorrow night.
I'm so excited.
You and Ollie will be doing live results from in here.
Live reactions.
Live results.
Not in here.
Oh, I thought Ollie said you were doing it in here.
I don't want to do it in here. It gets really hot in
here. Pretty sure you're doing it in here.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to. I want to sit on the Cineworld chairs. They're much more comfy.
Well, because if you were going to do it in there, I'd be like, can I come? Because I live just
No, because it's two-man booths.
Yeah, right? I know it is.
Yeah.
But I would just try and sneak my way in anyway.
No.
No. I'm going to watch it on... if you're watching it in the UK, go to Fight TV. They've been very good to us and given us some nice things in the past. So if you don't know where to watch it in the UK, go to Fight TV. You can get it real cheap.
Cool.
And it's going to be an awesome show.
Thank you for that Rampage roundup, Randy.
Mm. That was a rubbish joke. Your jokes all
that's
suck.
That's not a joke. That was just alliteration. Yeah. Before we get into the rest of your Ultra Chats, one more time, we're sponsored by beer52.com/wrestle. Go get 10 free craft beers. They're really cool. Let's get into thanking our awesome pledge hammers, our $25 and above pledge hammers, who are really cool people. If you pledge at the $25 tier or above, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show, much like this one. So thank you to the British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.
He's no jackass. Dano!
Yes, thank you very much. He's a sexy man.
Sexy man!
Not an Andrew Gross man.
Woo!
Thank you very much.
Fantastic Mr. Good Old Fox.
Yes, thank you very much. Will, always mark out for Ollie, Landrum.
Yeah.
What a terrible choice.
The Roller Coaster, Robert Acosta.
Nice, thank you very much. Wrestle Talk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
Ah, yes. The Vision Adonis.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Ryan, be bad.
Oh, yeah. Shield Maiden, the Zornice.
Yes,
she emailed me the other day.
Chris, the Cypriot Sensation, Patru.
Ah, yes, and finally, Ronald Coleman, baby.
Lovely.
Debuting tomorrow night.
Lovely. Maybe. Maybe.
I like that. Maybe. Maybe.
Said maybe. All right, let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Last chance to get those in at wrestletalk.com/support. Charles Berg says, I'd like to think Bruce Pritchard was sitting back in his chair on Friday thinking to himself, we just had Rick Boogs' debut singles match. Top that, AEW. And then he chuckles and smokes a cigar or something. I don't know. Good episode of SmackDown, though. That was all right, yeah.
It was fine.
SMB says, I'd love for Dom to turn on Rey. Dom should end up retiring and taking Rey's mask, crowning himself as Prince Mysterio. But I do find Dom hard to buy into because he's been portrayed as a five-year-old and doesn't look like the most intimidating heel. Thoughts?
Yeah, I would rather Rey turns on Dominic.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Rey is distracting him on purpose.
Less that. not distracting him on purpose, but Rey is just like, son, for God's sake, please win. You've got the Mysterio name.
Dominic does have a bit of a baby, like a, actually, like
a baby face.
Yes, he has a baby's face.
Yeah.
And he's got that kind of tattoo, which
looks a bit rubbish.
Yeah, he does look like a 12-year-old boy.
A little bit.
And I feel like he would be not like a good heel. He would just be like an annoying person. Mm. Like kind of,
Which could work for him, maybe. Yeah. We don't know. Courtney Allen says, hey guys, what are your thoughts on Naomi turning heel next week by taking out Bianca and signing the contract herself? Hate that. One and one for Ollie and Ollie for one. No. Also, don't do that because it was really bad when Cena did it.
Naomi
that's not the precedent.
Naomi is a big old baby face.
Totally turn heel.
Just took Naomi's gear and went, that's the NXT logo.
Kind of.
Yeah, and I saw that earlier. Went, huh.
Well, I assumed what they did was looked at AW Dynamite's intro and then went, that's NXT.
Colours.
Yeah. Some more Ultra Chats about AW Rampage. Hannah Allen says, hello, lovely gents. I love the thought and care that AW takes with their characters and stories. Sure, there's been a miss or two, but Malachi Black, for instance, there's psychology behind the character and that transcends his wrestling. Magic. And part two to that says, Eddie and Miro are other good examples. Miro, 100% dicey to start with, but once they started highlighting his attributes, his character almost completely has a new voice. Eddie is just gold. Guys, I'm in love with wrestling again. Lots of love. LIW444 life. Thank you very much.
See, that's the thing, isn't it, with AEW? Like, oh, he's had a bad start, but I trust them.
But
whereas
you trust AEW.
WWE's like, here's Karrion Cross.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and instantly we go, you have a bad track record. This isn't going to go well.
Exactly. Yeah. And I,
Get Crasher Forever says, Ever-Rise / 2.0 must be astounded at how they've gone from 205 Live jobbers to main event versus Sting and CM Punk. That is pretty wild. Yeah. Happy for them. Very cool.
Yeah. No, awesome. Awesome stuff.
Gatecrasher Forever says, it's slow, it's so floppy, I'll hold it, it's tight. Randy Andy Datsun returns to SmackDown podcast. This is going to sound good for podcast listeners. Lol.
Yeah, I was talking about his penis.
You were not. You were talking about the microphone.
Mm.
Gatecrasher Forever again says, I miss the infamous orange Sainsbury's carrier bag above Andy's cupboard in his kitchen from when he did the podcast from home. Is it still there?
It's not. I've moved house since, and my girlfriend would not allow that.
She wouldn't allow the orange Sainsbury's bag, full stop.
No. We have got some orange Sainsbury's bags, but they're in a cupboard folded up in another bag of our bags.
Yes.
You must have a bag of bags.
Of course.
In your place. Yeah.
I'm not a monster. Of course I have a bag of bags.
Yeah. No, so if I was streaming from my desk right now, you'd see a giant hedgehog plushie.
Like a, okay, right. Yeah. Not an actual one. Not a live one.
No, and a map of the world.
So, Andy, aside from moving house and cooking and Rev Pro coming up, anything else exciting happening in your life? This is basically the Andy podcast now because I'm uninteresting.
I did a lovely poo this morning.
Mate. I swear to God.
And I don't know, really. I'm just really enjoying being back in the office, to be honest.
Oh, I'm really enjoying being back in the office. I think I'll enjoy it so much more when there isn't a giant bear taking up so much room and also, like, loads of people's just stuff everywhere.
That's true. One of my things is in there. Three of my things are in there.
A lot of your things
are in
there.
I won that bear fair and square.
You sure did.
Yeah.
It's yours.
Darts. A darts game at the winter thing. Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland, yeah.
In Hyde Park. It's called Marshmallow.
It's very cute. It's also massive.
It is big. That's why we couldn't pack it in my car.
You know what you should do? Now that you live a 20-minute walk
I'm
away
not
from
carrying
the office.
A giant
why
teddy bear
not?
Through the middle of Stratford.
Why not?
You know me. I'm really cool. I've got lots of street cred.
Mate.
I'm...
No one will look at you differently if you have a giant bear. Literally, people might glance over and go, giant bear. And that's it. That is it.
But I'm not a bear. If anything, I'd be a twink.
Mate. Why did we bring you back?
Because I'm really, really friendly. I'm getting a parking permit underneath my flat in like a week.
Right.
So once I get that, I will transport all the things, the chair, the terrarium,
yeah,
and the bear,
yeah,
back to
the flat.
The flat.
Yeah. And then we can maybe have a little redecoration of the office, because that's what we've wanted for a while.
Ollie was always saying, it's like not taking up any room. It's like a massive office.
Okay. By themselves, no, they're not taking up that much room. In combination with the other sides being plastered with other people's stuff.
Not my stuff.
No, I'm not saying it's your
my
stuff.
My desk's small. I've got the smallest desk.
I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff in that office that belongs to various people that probably shouldn't be in the office. That's all I'm saying.
True. Old expired pot noodles.
Old expired pot noodles.
Huel bars.
Some of that stuff is mine that I've not had the capability, but it's in drawers, at least. It's out of the way. You know, it's not just on the side.
I haven't got
scattered
drawers. My drawers got stolen by you or Laurie, I think.
No, because mine are still there. Probably Adam.
Adam stole my drawers.
Yes, Adam would have, because he wouldn't have had them, because in the old setup of the office...
I don't mean he stole my pants, by the way.
I was going to make the joke, but the time passed. Glad you went back to it. Yeah, because in the old setup of the office, it was my desk, drawers, which were mine, and then Adam, and then nothing. He didn't have a set of drawers.
Right.
So he must have stolen your set of drawers that you had on the other side, because you were on the other end of the office, weren't you, before?
Correct.
Yeah. Because it was the five of us around the little U, and then you had the offshoot table because you weren't in as often as us, because we were in every day,
and
you weren't. So we had the drawers between me and Adam. You had drawers between Laurie and...
This is fascinating,
housemate
by the way.
Simon
yeah.
was on the other side, yes. wasn't he? Originally. And then Ollie and Luke had their own drawers as well. So Adam must have stolen yours.
Well, Laurie, yeah, because Laurie used to like sitting next to me, because I'm not the world's tidiest person.
And also, you're a big fidgeter.
Yeah, whereas Laurie is one of those real clean freaks. Like, I feel like he's the sort of person who...
Yes and no.
...carries around, like, anti-back spray in his pocket.
I wouldn't go that far. I don't think he's that much of a clean freak.
He seems like he is, though.
Seems like he is.
Seems like he is, though. And he's moved away.
He sure has. He's got away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, moved
Which
to Manchester.
Isn't very nice. Do you know what I actually might be doing soon?
Mm.
See, we're going to go and see Shang-Chi.
Oh, I've heard it's very good.
I've heard it's very good as well. I don't know when, because we're going to a party tonight, but... Oh, that's another thing. Yeah, my first house party in 8 years. I don't know what to do, because I've only met one of the people going. There's probably about 25 people going.
Okay.
So it's going to be a lot of...
A lot in a house.
It's going to be a lot of, editor-in-chief, for a wrestling website.
Not one of those lowly editors.
And they're like, oh, what's that? And I go, oh, you know, like WWE. Oh, yeah, I used to watch that when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people watched it when they were a kid, yeah. Like, is The Undertaker still that well, sort of? I imagine I'll have that conversation about 40 times.
Mm. I had, this is a while ago, I think this was probably... when was it? This must have been at the tail end of last year, maybe? Or maybe... Yes! No, it was. It was the middle of last year. It was about a year ago at this point. Can't remember whether I told you this or not. I told someone. Had a guy come out to do some extermination in my flat, so I had an infestation of some bugs and stuff. So a guy came out to do it, and he was just making idle chat. He was saying, oh, what do you do for a job? And I was like, oh, you know, I present on YouTube. And he was like, what do you present about? And I was like, okay, fine. And I was saying, yeah, you know, about pro wrestling. And he was like, oh, really? And he had like a proper strong South African accent, which made the whole thing
really?
So much better.
Do you like WWE?
It was kind of like that, yeah. It was really strong. And he was saying, which shocked me. He did the normal stuff of being like, oh, yeah, I used to watch back in the day, blah, 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 blah. The whole conversation that you always have for this kind of conversation. And then he goes, oh, didn't they do that, wasn't it someone that lost an eye recently? And I was like, yeah, the eye for an eye, Matt. Yeah, that happened. And he was like, oh, I heard they did it pretty well. And I was like, well, not really, no. But, you know, to be nice, I was like, yeah, no, it was great. Yeah, it was really fun. He was like, oh, it's amazing how they can do that. I'm like, is it?
Yeah. Now and then I'll get a text from my friend who doesn't watch wrestling going, oh, Brock Lesnar's back.
Yeah.
I wonder what Andy's doing. And he'll just jump onto wrestletalk.com and go,
yeah.
Right, that's the story I'm going to ask about.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice when people... Because I find a lot of people are like, they'll ask you questions and be like, oh, cool. But you can still, that you kind of can tell they're going, that's a bit of a weird profession.
Yeah.
Because my lady partner is a PhD student, as is the friend whose house we go to later.
You sure?
And I think pretty much everyone going is a PhD student.
Okay.
So, oh, I'm going to have to talk about science, man.
Well, you've got a PhD.
A pretty hot dick.
Okay. That's not what I was going to go for. But yeah, sure, let's go with it. Again, why are you on this podcast? Talking about dildos, poo, and your own dick.
Hey, that's a Saturday night.
It's Saturday daytime. You're ahead of the schedule.
I imagine a lot of time is going to be, oh, so what's the gang? Like, I'm going to have to talk about the ganglion. What is that? Hopefully, though, because everyone's at a party, they will talk to everyone else.
Yeah.
And just be like, they won't want to talk about work because the last thing I want is when I turn up and just feel like an idiot.
Yeah, totally.
Because I, like, generally, in most conversation, I can pretty much hold my own.
Mm-hmm.
But these are PhD students who are all kind of in similar labs.
To be fair, though, you'd hope that they wouldn't automatically assume that they'd know, that you'd know everything they know because they're PhD students.
They might think I'm a PhD student because I'm there.
But you could just say, I'm not. And then they go, oh, okay.
No, but I'm British. I'll go, yeah. On my PhD.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
PhD, oh, you wouldn't understand. It's
exactly. Isn't.
And you just wouldn't get it. It's more that I don't know how to behave at a house party anymore.
That's fair.
Because when I was, that last house party, I was like 17, 18.
You see alcohol to cover
you
it.
You stand
that's
in the corner drinking a bottle of like Carling or like a WK, a blue WKD.
Blue WKD,
or
yeah.
Or Smirnoff Ice.
Sure.
Because I don't drink. Like, no. I drink it once a year and it won't be tonight.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to get back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really, like, thankfully, my lady partner, I mean, she told me earlier, I'm going to be getting quite drunk.
Quite drunk, yeah.
So either we'll have to get an Uber or you're going to have to not drink. I was like, well, that's fine. You know
that. Yeah, because I don't drink.
Don't drink. I just don't really want to be dragging her through London.
I mean, can you drive?
I could drive, but also I don't know if there's parking there and it's London. I don't want to park in London for several hours.
That's fair. Yeah. I guess, yeah, if there was safe parking, then it would probably be worth it.
But the most distressing thing is that she said, oh, it starts at 7. So we'll go at about, we'll leave at about 7:15. I went, sorry.
Man, it's a house party. You can't turn up at the time.
No. See, when I was, again, this is one thing that I was bad at, was I was just always turn up on time to house parties. And I remember my friend Charlotte, when we were, I think, probably about 18, we're having a house party thing. And it was like, yeah, turn up at 7. And I did. And she wasn't even changed yet.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I wasn't expecting anyone to turn up. And the invite said 7. She went, yeah, I was expecting people at 8.
You know that's an actual scene from The Big Bang Theory, right?
What, Sheldon?
No, all of them.
Yeah.
They just turn up on time and Penny's like, Why are you all here?
See, like, I get that it's like, oh, it's fashionable to be a bit late. But also...
Don't set start time if you're not going to start at that time.
Exactly.
Right?
To be like, oh, we'll be ready for you around this time. If you don't want anyone to come till 8:30, just say, we'll get everything underway at 8:30. Because then if someone is around on, like, does come by 8:35, 8:40,
yeah,
then it's still fine.
Yeah.
But if I turn up and no one's ready,
yeah,
then I just look like a knob.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why no one goes on time to house party invites, which is weird. Because it's like the only kind of invite where the time is just like fluid, you know?
See, it's one of my real, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe, I don't know, it's to do with my ADHD, but like I really stress about being on time to things.
Mm.
And so if I see a be here at 11, I'll be like, yeah, okay, well, I'll be there at quarter 11. To 11.
Yeah.
At like the latest, I'll be there at quarter to 11.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so. No, I'm with you. I just don't get it. I like having structure and I like knowing how my day is going to go. So if someone says, we'll meet up in the afternoon, I'm like, cool, what time? Like, the afternoon is a really long time. Like,
my girlfriend's friends are all like this.
Yeah.
She went, oh, we're going to go for a burger with blah, 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 blah on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, cool, what time? She went, oh, we'll decide. I don't know. Like, no, but it's Saturday in London. You're going to have to book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure someone will. And it gets like midday on Saturday. And it's like, what time meeting? Sorry, around 7. It's like, no, but you've got to book. And the amount of times where I've turned up at the place
yeah,
on time, and then I've had to like talk to the quite visibly irritated waitress who's mm-hmm. going, where is it? Like, is anyone else coming? I'm like, yeah, no, they are coming.
Yeah.
I promise they're coming.
And
you can see the waitress is getting annoyed because they're like, well, no, we have to serve you within a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And like, we've had so many times where we've been close to going, well, no one's here. You're going to have to give up the table.
Yeah, totally.
I just turn up on time, mate.
Turn up on time.
It's like, oh, I'm just leaving. But you live half an hour away. Yeah. But the booking's in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I think it just comes from a place of just like, I don't want to call it arrogance because it's not quite right, but just the expectation that people will wait for you.
Yeah.
People being the people that you're going with, and also like if you're going to a restaurant, like the waiters and stuff will just wait for you. And it's like, that's not how it works all the time. Like they might need to get you in and out kind of thing. Yeah. Like,
it's just a sense of entitlement.
Entitlement. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Anyway, this got weird, didn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Welcome back, Andy. We just complained a lot. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Dats and world problems. Love those things. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Thank you for reuniting, Andy. Appreciate you coming back, mate. And Tempest will be back next week. Don't worry if you really hate Andy. Tempest will be back.
One person did.
Yeah. It doesn't change. Cool. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you guys. Take care. Stay safe. We love you very much. Goodbye.